Let's turn to the Word, 1 Samuel chapter 19. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan's son Saul delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul my father seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David, David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very, very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Now there's absolutely no question that every friendship comes under fire. I'm old enough to know that if you establish a friendship with someone and try to help them and remain true to them through life, before long trouble will come upon you or that other person, and your friendship will come under pressure. I remember I had a friend once, and suddenly I found a lot of his friends around him turned against him, and they did their best to try to get me to join them. And I was faced with loyalty to my friend. Very difficult thing. You see it in America, for example. If President Bush picks a John Tower, he has a streak in him, George Bush, which is very famous of remaining loyal to those people who are his friends. Not all friends are perfect. Some friends make very real mistakes and sin, etc. And you saw him under tremendous pressure across the nation as he rode against the nation to stand by his nominee as Secretary of Defense. That's in politics, and loyalty in politics is a very difficult thing. Sometimes a politician has to ditch a friend in order to please the party. You get it in the political world, you get it in the business world, you get it in education, you get it in all sorts of places. Friendship, true personal friendship between people in whatever walk of life they are, soon comes under fire. And David and Jonathan's friendship came under tremendous fire. There are some very clear qualities that are shown when this friendship comes under fire, and the first one is loyalty. Is loyalty. I know it's an old-fashioned word, but it's an indispensable word with regard to the whole world of friendship. Loyalty is absolutely vital. Jonathan's father, who was king, attacked Jonathan's friend. And he could have agreed with his father and betrayed his friendship with David, but he didn't do that. He was absolutely loyal to David. He could have exploded with anger against his father so easily. When his dad started to chip at David, who had saved the nation in killing Goliath and so forth. Harry Truman, an American president of the past, had a daughter. And Harry Truman's daughter decided she'd try her hand at a career as a soloist, a concert soloist. And the critics were not impressed with her singing. One critic wrote, she is, quote, flat a good deal of the time. She cannot sing with anything approaching professional finish. She communicates almost nothing of the music she presents. And the president read this review. He was absolutely livid. And he got in touch with the critic, the newspaper critic. And he said, quote, "I've just read your lousy review. And I've never met you, but if I do, you'll need a new nose and a supporter below." And he was flaming. Anger, you know, is something that rises in all of us. But would you try and remember this if you forget everything else I say? Anyone who angers you conquers you. If they get you into a bad temper, they will conquer you. You can't win with a bad temper. If you let fly in a rage, I warn you, you will make a very bad landing. Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything upon which it is poured. Would you try to remember that principle? The person who angers you conquers you. And of course he reacted in a very positive way whenever his father tried to anger him. Jonathan passed the test. He reacted wisely. He knew his father well enough not to stop him in the middle of a tirade. He let him get through with it. He knew David might hear about the meeting that he had with his father, and he didn't want his friend to have to act on hearsay. So he went very quietly out of the palace, and he found David, and he told David what had been said, rather than letting him hear it from somebody else. And he encouraged him. He was loyal. And then he went and he intervened on David's behalf with his father. David's virtues were pointed out to his dad, and the injustice of his attack upon God's servant. And I tell you that David's reputation was absolutely safe in Jonathan's hand. Is your reputation safe in the hand of your friend? That's a true friend, if they are loyal to you. Saul allowed David to return at this time, but not for very long, because it was only temporary. And before very long, David had to flee the murder plots of King Saul for the rest of King Saul's life. David was an outlaw. But the lovely loyalty of friendship, and of course the very powerful test of friendship, came when somebody started to criticize his friend. Those are very simple principles. But I hope you'll stand by your friend right to the end of your life. I hope you'll pass the test of loyalty and the test of friendship when friendship comes under fire. Now notice chapter 20. This is a lovely chapter in this lovely story. 1 Samuel 20, and we'll read just four verses. David fled from Naoth and Ramah and came 20:1 before Jonathan. "What have I done, and what is mine iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." And he saith, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." Now here's a situation where David's on the run. But he doesn't go home to his father and mother's house. He comes right back to the very place where King Saul was born. David goes back to Saul's hometown. That seems a strange thing to do when you're on the run from this king. But he goes right back into Saul's roots. Why? Because he knows that Jonathan is there and that Jonathan will be available. He knows that Jonathan will be available. Very famous story in the First World War where a man asked permission to go into one man's land to save his friend. True story. And his captain said no. Because they're strafing across that with bullets and you'll be killed. And he's hit anyway. and you'll both die. Please let me go, he said. And the man went, dragged his friend in, and caught a bullet himself and lay dying. And the captain looked at him in absolute frustration. He said, I told you, he said, he wasn't going to live anyway, and now you're dying. Yes, he said, but can I tell you what he said? The man said as he was dying, when I got to him, he said, I knew you would come. I knew you would come. Now, I'm not asking you to be foolhardy for your friend, but can your friend really trust you? He went right into enemy territory, and he knew that Jonathan would be available to him. He trusted Jonathan when he was under great pressure. Jonathan became available at all times to his young friend under pressure. He was available. And he listened to David's story, and David said, look, notice what he says here. He says, what have I done? Have I sinned? Have I done something wrong that your father's chasing me? And he says, no, David, you haven't done anything wrong. But he said, there's only a step between me and death. And Jonathan didn't agree with him. He said, no, my dad's not as bad as that. My dad will not kill you. And actually, you'll notice that David was right and Jonathan was wrong. But yet, although they both had a disagreement over this matter, they remained friends, even in a crisis. They could have argued and fought, and he said, look, my dad's not against you. Wise up. And he could have said, but he is against me. And look, you're not my friend anymore because you won't face reality. Notice these friends had a disagreement, but they still remain friends. Notice the involvement of Jonathan. In verse 4, he says, look, David, whatever your soul desires, I'll do it for you. Isn't that beautiful? Whatever your soul desires, I'll do it for you. He was absolutely involved, prepared to even go to death itself for his friend. Now notice how Jonathan, in this situation, builds David up. Verse number 12. It's a beautiful verse. He starts to pray with his friend. 20 and 12, 1 Samuel. O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I sent not unto thee and show it to thee, the Lord do so much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not. But also thou shalt not be cut off thy kindness. Thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. Notice how that he comes to his friend, and it's a, you know, it's an old-fashioned word again, but he edified him. He built him up. He quietly built him up. I hope that you are a friend who's determined to build into your friend's life so that they can become all that God longs them to be, and you can help them just to be that by encouraging them along. Now notice verse 30 of the same chapter. Here you've got these lovely qualities. Notice your note sheet. 2A, Jonathan's availability. 2B, Jonathan's involvement. And then 2C, Jonathan as an edifier. I hope you're available. I hope you're involved. And I hope, Christian, you're an edifier of your friend. But notice the cost. The cost of it. Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. Verse 30. Thou son of a perverse rebel, he said unto him, son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. In other words, he was so loyal that he very nearly lost his life. Notice the qualities: loyalty, burden bearer, edifier, confidence giving, confidence keeping, Jonathan. But you know, the Bible says, like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble. It's like a sprained ankle to have a friend who won't help you when you're under pressure. It's like a bad tooth. And you know, you've known friends who were true to you, but when you got into trouble, they didn't want to know you. And they were against you. Now let's look very closely again at the situation that we find on chapter 23 and verse number 15. We've studied this before, but here it is. David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Look at that selfless ministry of a friend. Under fear, under pressure, under great trial. And he finds him in a wood, and he gets down beside him, and he strengthens his hand in God. And up until that time, David was on the run. But if you read in the Psalms, after Jonathan visited him, he says, "They also have surrounded me with words of hatred, fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they act as my accusers. But I am in prayer. Thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. They have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me, no one who cares for my soul." That's David's talking. But you'll notice that as soon as Jonathan comes into this wood to strengthen his hand in God, that David is redirected in his perspective. And there are Psalms that follow this that are absolutely full of David's confidence, even though everything is falling around him because of Jonathan's ministry. Now, please notice, folks, that he didn't paint a rosy picture to his friend in the wood and say, "It's not as bad as you think, David." He didn't come into the wood and say, "My dad really likes you, David." No. He didn't say, "Come on, you can handle it, you can do it." No, he sat down beside him, and instead of talking about a lot of rosy painting and unrealistic thinking, in his coming out in his speech, he redirected David's eyes and heart to the Lord. He redirected him to put his trust in God by focusing his attention upon the Lord and not upon his human enemy. And David needed to be jolted out of despair and unbelief and redirected to his shepherd. And so are you, and so do I. In this great congregation tonight, is there somebody just at the end of themselves, and you know what to do, you know where to turn, you're just absolutely at wit's end corner? Let me stand here in this lovely service tonight as we praise God and redirect you to the shepherd. You've trusted him maybe years ago. Just get your eyes off your enemy and get your eye upon the Lord. See, three things here. I need to be a friend in God to my friends. It would be great to have a Jonathan in my life, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you love to have a Jonathan in your life? Well, even if you don't, why not be a Jonathan to somebody else? Even if you have no Jonathan, you be a Jonathan. And of course, your friendship with the Lord is a test of your friendship with people. If my friendships don't enable me to strengthen my friends in the Lord, then I need to deepen my commitment to the Savior. If my friends aren't deepened in their Christian faith as a result of knowing me, there's something wrong with my commitment to the Lord. But if my commitment to the Lord is deep, then my friends will feel the benefit of that. The greatest ministry that I or you can have, Christian, to a friend is to help that friend to be directly dependent on the Lord. What a lovely ministry for you to have. And David later on says that he strengthened himself in God. Jonathan strengthened his hand in God, and then when David was alone, he strengthened himself in the Lord as a result of Jonathan. You know, David was betrayed just a few chapters after this by a crowd of boys called the Ziphites. And externally, the results were the same. David was forced to flee. But he wrote, when he was betrayed by the Ziphites, in Psalm 54, "God is my helper, and the Lord is the sustainer of my soul. He's delivered me from all trouble, and my eye has looked with satisfaction upon my enemies." See the difference in his writing as a result of the lovely Jonathan. He caused him to move from fear to faith, didn't he? Faith is like driving in the fog. Fear is like driving in the fog, you know? And faith is so different to that, because faith can see the invisible and believes the incredible, and of course, it receives the impossible. No wonder you're filled with fear, kind of driving your life in a fog. May your eyes be directed to the shepherd tonight, and then you'll have faith, not fear. Notice 2 Samuel 1, the last two verses about Jonathan in the Bible, with regard to the relationship. 2 Samuel 1, because this now comes and Jonathan is killed in a battle. And 2 Samuel 1 tells us what David thought of his friend. 2 Samuel 1 and 25. "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been to me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of woman. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished." It's 30 centuries since he wrote that, and you can still feel it. "My soul is distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. You've been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was passing the love of women." That doesn't mean the love of women is wrong. It means it was a different quality of love. "The mighty has fallen. The weapons of war are perished." Is there somebody listening to me now and you've just lost a friend? And you're sitting here tonight filled with grief. It was traumatic. Well, I can tell you, if you lose a friend and you have told that friend through your life that you love and appreciate them, you'll not regret it when they're gone that you never told them what you thought of them. There are people in this world, you know, and they have friends and they never tell them they appreciate them. They never say thank you. They take it all for granted. They don't reach out and say, "Thank you, brother or sister, for being my friend and for helping me." And then when that friend suddenly dies, they say, "Oh, I wish I had told them." These two fellas have no regrets like that. David and Jonathan made promises to each other and expressed what they thought of each other in their faith in God and in their friendship with each other. It's so important. So David had no regrets on that score. So, if with pleasure you are viewing any work a man is doing, if you like him or you love him, tell him now. Don't withhold your approbation till the parson makes oration and he lies with snow-white lilies on his brow. For no matter how you shout it, he won't really care about it. He won't know how many teardrops you have shed. So if you think some praise is due him, now's the time to slip it to him. For he cannot read his tombstone when he's dead. More than fame and more than money is the comment, kind and sunny, and the hearty, warm approval of a friend. For it gives to life a savor, and it makes you stronger, braver, and it gives you heart and spirit to the end. If he earns your praise, bestow it. If you like him, let him know it. Let the words of true encouragement be said. Do not wait till life is over, and he's underneath the clover. For he cannot read his tombstone when he's dead. Now next week we shall move to another study of a very famous man called Nathan. Next week's subject is Nathan. And the title is When It Hurts to Help. And of course, David fell into immorality and sin, and we shall see how Nathan drew him back into line. A different kind of friend in a different kind of situation.